Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus was fully human. After being born, he ate, he slept, he talked, he wept, and he suffered hardships. He was born of a woman under the law, and in his sinlessness, he was able to love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, and his neighbor as himself. The righteousness of our Lord Jesus sets him apart from every other person in the world and must also be remembered when we see the agony of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' experiences in the garden were different than the experiences of his disciples, for he was there by the will of God, which was also his will from eternity, in order to be their prophet and teacher, their mediator, and their savior. Everything our Lord Jesus did on earth was done to teach us that he alone could bring salvation. He arranged the last Passover to institute the Lord's Supper, where he promised that the cup poured out for his church would be the new covenant in his blood. He knew from the scriptures that he would be betrayed, and he pointed to his betrayer who was with him at the table. He knew that he would face trials because he came to serve, and that Peter and the rest of the disciples would need to learn loyalty and faithfulness, as we read in Luke 22, verses 24 to 34. Jesus knew from scriptures that as the Messiah, he would be numbered among the transgressors, and yet, as he announced he would do in the Garden of Gethsemane, he continued forward through the agony, teaching his church that the most important thing is to follow him to peace with his heavenly Father, no matter what the consequences. Jesus needed strength to carry him through the immense burden on his human mind and his human body. He taught us how to pray for this strength in the most agonizing situations, and then God gave him what he needed to be crushed in our place. Noting the chasm in our text that highlights verse 42 to 43 as the center point of our text, I preach to you the gospel under the following theme. Our Lord Jesus Christ was strengthened to drink the cup of the Lord's wrath for us. We'll see 3 points. In the first point, we'll see his suffering revealing his obedience. Second, his prayer instruction for his church. And three, his Father confirmed his task. So first we'll see his suffering revealing his obedience. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives knowing that the time had come for his betrayer to hand him over to his enemies. Although he knew that he would be found by his enemies, he stuck to his custom and he prayed in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Unlike his first parents in the Garden of Eden, he resisted the temptation of the devil to flee from God the judge. Instead of running, Jesus waited in the garden for the coming punishment. He separated himself from his disciples because he knew that he was the only one who could bear the punishment for the sins of the world, and that he would do it alone. He knelt down on his knees because he had emptied himself of the glory he once had with his Father, and he prayed because he had made himself fully dependent on his heavenly Father when he took on our human nature, so that he could die under the punishing anger of the Almighty God. The very thought caused him an agony so intense that it made his body break out with sweat that became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus suffered because it was his task to drink from a cup, and the cup that he was referring to was well known to those who knew the Old Testament and the covenant curses that God announced for those who disobeyed his word. So you can see that in Isaiah 51, verses 17 to 23. Psalm 75 that we sang, the curses are compared to a cup with foaming wine, well mixed with that the wicked must drink in order that God's justice be satisfied. The prophets Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Zechariah explain how the Lord gave the cup to the disobedient covenant people, and then how he took it from them when their exile was over, and he gave it to their wicked oppressors. See Jeremiah 25, verse 15. To satisfy God's justice, sin had to be punished, and the cup of God's wrath had to be poured out. We deserve to drink the cup of God's wrath for our sins, but the gospel message Jesus announced was that it was God's will to send his Son to drink it for us. Jesus' obedience to God's plan to manifest his love for his church caused great suffering. The difficulty of obedience to God's plan, which he revealed in his promises, was experienced in a very real way by the Lord. He was innocent of all transgression, which meant that he had an eternal, self-sacrificial love for God, his heavenly Father, and for the people beside him in the world. This righteous love, beyond anything that we can begin to understand, increased the intensity of his suffering, because it was those he loved who were the ones who were cursing, who were rejecting, who were hating him, betraying him, mocking and beating him. Drinking the cup meant being cursed by his own Father. Fulfilling his plan meant separation from God. It was the anguish and torment of hell made worse by the fact that he knew that his heavenly Father did not take delight in crushing his only Son in order to satisfy his justice and to save his church. You can read that in Jeremiah 45. If anyone could understand how difficult it is to suffer, it is our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone could understand why people wished that obedience didn't bring such suffering, If anyone could understand why people wished that obedience didn't bring such suffering and that it might be possible to reach eternal life through another way, it was Jesus who pressed under the weight of this task to drink from the cup of God's wrath. And it is in this very moment when his obedience to God's will pressed him to limits unknown to any person that he teaches his church how we must pray when we are tempted to flee from the obedience that brings us suffering. And that we'll see in our second point. His prayer instructs his church. Luke tells us that when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, knowing that he would be discovered there by his betrayer, his disciples followed him. Jesus did not forget them as he prepared to drink the cup of the Lord's wrath. He knew his arrest and condemnation would also be very difficult for them. So he prepared them a little by urging them to be ready with their money bags, knapsacks, and swords for the persecution they would experience from the world because their master would be numbered with the transgressors. He told them straight out that Satan had demanded to have the disciple Peter, that he might sift him like wheat, and that he would be tempted to lose his faith. Peter would even turn away from the Lord for a while. See Luke 22, verse 32. They would all be tempted by the desire to resist the will of God to satisfy his justice by cursing his Son with the most humiliating and soul-crushing death possible. They would be tempted to prevent his necessary arrest by defending him with a sword in the garden. And they would be tempted to deny knowing him because of the shame of being associated with a person that the world deemed a criminal. They would be tempted to wish that he could save himself from the cross. And they would be tempted to lose sight of the big picture in their own self-absorbed, sleepy sorrow. Luke uses two different words to describe the sleep of the disciples. The first word, describing what they were doing in verse 45, is a more active word that reveals that the sorrow they were experiencing and the stress of a very hectic week tired them out, and they fell asleep. The second word that Jesus chose to use to talk about what they were doing, verse 46, also describes sleeping, but has more of the sense of not being awake. And it is often used to speak of a spiritual unawareness. Although the sleep of a tired person could be understood, the lack of awareness of what was happening around them at that moment was not in order. It is when we aren't aware of the seriousness of the situation that we are led into temptation. It is when we diminish the weight of God's wrath against sin that we spend more time feeling sorry for ourselves than we do obeying God's will through the hard trials of discipleship. Let's think about that again. Although sleep of a tired person could be understood, the lack of awareness of what was happening around them at that moment was not in order. It is when we aren't aware of the seriousness of the situation that we are led into temptation. It is when we diminish the weight of God's wrath against sin that we spend more time feeling sorry for ourselves than we do obeying God's will through the hard trials of discipleship. Jesus promised to pray for his disciples. We see that in Luke 22, verses 31 to 32, and we see it in John 17. He twice commanded them to pray, and he even gave them an example of the prayer of a righteous man whose obedience to God will bring suffering. Jesus' prayer to his Father is not a revelation of some human weakness or doubt in himself, as if Jesus found that he was different than his Father's, his will was different than his Father's, but it is a revelation of his understanding of our humanity and the temptations we have to resist to the justice, to God's justice. If we look at Lord's Day 41, it's an explanation of that. Although there is some question whether his disciples could hear him praying when they were with him in the garden because he was a stone's throw away and they may have been sleeping, there is no question that his words were recorded so that we might learn. Jesus understood the temptations we face to turn from obedience to God when things get tough. So when he was waiting in the garden for his imminent hellish anguish, in his grace and love for the church, he taught us how to pray. Jesus used his situation as an example that we could use even though we will never have to face the same suffering that he did. He prayed from an agony that far surpasses the worst agony any human being can be under, so that we, who will never have it as bad as our Lord Jesus, can know how to pray when we face less severe trials. No one on earth will ever have it as bad as our Lord Jesus did. His instructions or his prayer for the world applies to every sinner in the world who is tempted to resist God because that seems easier. Even if you are still under the curse of God's wrath, he came to drink from the cup of God's wrath against sins of the entire world, not just against their own sins. Only the Son of God, clothed with our human nature, could bear that burden. And since he has already drunk from that cup for everyone who believes, we can know that no sufferings that we are made to face because of our faith is a punishment for sin. However, this doesn't mean that we will never suffer at the hands of evildoers because of our faith anymore, or that we will never be tempted, or that Jesus' instruction on prayer cannot instruct us anymore. When we follow Jesus' example of prayer, we need to replace the reference to the cup of God's wrath with whatever other consequences of obedience to God we might be finding difficult to accept, just like we did with Jesus' instructions concerning bearing our cross. Christians today are praying, Father, it is so hard to be separated from my family. Father, it is so hard to be able to provide for them. Father, it is so hard to deal with the pain, to deal with the emotional trauma. If it fits your will, take this imprisonment from me, this torture or this exclusion. Jesus teaches us to honestly talk to God in prayer about what we find difficult, to humbly depend on him for help and relief in our struggles, and yet we need to submit to whatever his will may be. Nevertheless, if there is no other way, then we pray that I may be a servant who is loyal to you, even unto death, for I want to do your will and not my own. Are you tempted by the lie that disobeying God's law may make life easier? Are you burdened by the suffering you are facing? Rise up and pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Be honest about the suffering. Even request another way to open up, and then submit to the plan of God. Sometimes God calls us to do hard things, because in a world that hates the Lord, this is what it means to follow Jesus Christ, who had to do the most difficult thing ever done. We'll see this in our final point. His Father confirmed his task. In Hebrews 5, verse 8, we read that Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. As the weight of God's curse increased its pressure upon him, and God's presence with him increasingly diminished, Jesus learned by experience about the lengths to which obedience to God would drive him forward. In the garden, he was crushed just by the anticipation of the darkness, and he knew that it was only going to get more difficult. Rather than make his burden lighter, Christ's divine nature made it possible for him to bear more than any other human being could bear. And the angel that appeared to him confirmed for us that there was no other way. We read that immediately after Jesus instructed his disciples to resist the temptation, to stop trusting in the Lord, and to commit themselves to doing God's will, there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. It was the answer to Jesus' prayer. He wanted to drink the cup of God's wrath, and the angel confirmed for him that God in heaven would give him the strength to go through with it to the bitter dregs of hell. Luke doesn't mention any words spoken. The appearance was enough. Whether the angel was like the fiery cherubim who guarded the paradise of the Garden of Eden with his flaming sword, reminding the world that there was no glory without the payment of hell for their sins, or it was like the seraphim who stood as symbols of God's holiness and his wrath upon a cursed world, or like the angel who told Mary that she would be the mother of the Son of God who is taking on their human nature, the strengthening we read about was not a divine offer of reprieve from a curse. Jesus wanted to do God's will, but he needed the help of his Father to ensure that he bore the full brunt of the entire curse. The angel had not come to grant relief to the Son of God, but to confirm that it was indeed God's will to crush him. The appearance of the angel didn't make Jesus suffer less, but rather his suffering turned into agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his body broke out in a massive sweat. No human could stain the anticipation of the coming rejection without the help of heaven itself. So Father and Son united to face the unthinkable. The Father was committed to curse his own Son, and the Son was committed to bear that curse. Strengthened by heaven, our Lord Jesus was able to rise from the ground where he had knelt down to face an even deeper darkness. And when he rose from prayer, he was reminded of why he wanted to go through this. When he saw the men that he had come from heaven to save from eternal condemnation, and they barely had a clue. They were sleepy and sorrowful for themselves, insensitive to this moment in the history of revelation, just living moment to moment, unprepared for what lay ahead. If not for their Lord and Savior, they were unprepared for what lay ahead, if not for their Lord and Savior. It was time to face the consequences of following Christ. Rise and pray, he commanded. Take up your cross and follow me. The way is difficult, but the cup of God's wrath has been drunk. The victory is Christ's. In the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, Jesus promised to withstand the temptation to which humanity succumbed. Taking the words of Psalm 75, he promised his disciples that he would drink the cup of God's wrath that we deserve. He made the promise in the garden so that they would understand the silence of the Son of God who did not protest or resist drinking the last of the dregs of that cup on the cross, so that we would never have to. Whenever you take the cup from the Lord's Supper, remember the cup of God's wrath that our Lord Jesus consumed for us and in our place. Having set us free from the wrath of God, he promises to keep us from falling. He promises to keep us from falling away as he hands us the cup that reminds us of his union. He got the wrath, we get the wine of celebration. He set us free from God's wrath and obtained eternal life for everyone who believes in him. Pray that you do not fall into temptation and turn away from your life and salvation. And when following him leads to bitter suffering, may we pray the words our Lord taught us to pray. Father, may your will be done, so that we may share in his glory, just as we share in his suffering. Amen. In response to this sermon, let's sing from hymn 25, verses 1, 6, and 7.